Here is one of those scientifically proven facts that just magnifies what an awesome God we serve. And it's just this: He has instilled communication among all creatures that He created throughout all of nature. For instance, birds. He gave birds a unique song. And with those unique songs, they communicate to one another. They talk about marking their territory, chirp, chirp. And they use their songs to find a mate, chirp, chirp. And they warn other birds about dangers, chirp, chirp. Dolphins and whales and other creatures under the water do the same thing. Clicking sounds and songs and wailing, they communicate with one another just like the birds, saying all the same things. And the same is true of land animals, with sounds and vibrations that they can hear and understand that we can't always understand. They call to one another. They warn one another. They lead migrations. I never knew that, did you? They lead migrations through the sounds that they give to one another. They reveal food sources. There's food over here. They call to one another to have an assembly together. And bees have a unique dance that will tell other bees where to find food. And we're told that they are incredibly accurate when they do that. Don't you just love it? Fascinating. It's awesome. I really had fun reading about all of that, especially as I got to this one. Trees. Trees also communicate with one another. Who knew? Books have been written about it. The Smithsonian Magazine published an article about it. And here's a quote from Smithsonian. It says, "Forest trees have evolved to live in cooperation. Interdependent relationships maintained by communication and a collective intelligence similar to an insect colony." Wow. Let that sink in for a minute. And as you do, just think about a thick forest, thick with trees, becoming a caring community together. Now listen to this. It's from the same article in the Smithsonian. It says, "All the trees in every forest are connected to each other through underground fungal networks. Trees share water and nutrients through the networks, and they also use them to communicate. They send out distress signals when there is a drought and disease, for example, or insect attacks, another example. And other trees alter their behavior when they receive these messages." Wow! What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What an awesome God we serve. When I read that about the trees, it brought to my mind some important messages that are in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I did not know this. I don't know whether you knew this or not, but trees are the most mentioned living thing on the planet Earth in the Bible, except for people and God Himself. Trees must be pretty important. The Bible begins and it ends with rich symbolic messages through trees. Let's explore that a little bit. We obviously are going to begin in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there He put a man that He had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food." Now here comes something that many people miss. Listen, in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees. Not one tree, but two trees. From which of those two trees did Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Genesis 2:6. And the Lord God commanded, you were free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they could eat from the tree of life and all the other trees, but just not the one, knowledge of good and evil. And the devil came along and talked to them about that. And this is what he said. He said, God knows that when you eat of that tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And nevertheless, they ate, not of the tree of life, mind you, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did, they recognized that they were evil. They were evil, not good. Now, here's something very ironic. It says that they also recognized that they were naked. So they found a fig tree, and they took its leaves to cover themselves. In other words, they chose one tree for their sin, and they chose another tree to hide their sin. Trees. Genesis 3:22, after all of this took place, the Lord God said, man must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. God drew a line in the sand. He said, no, no, you can't do that anymore. I'm in control of that. You're not. And he still is in control of that. And we're not. Continuing in Genesis. So, the Lord God banished man from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, God placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth, listen, to guard the way to the tree of life. And then because of all that, Adam and Eve put you and me in a desperate need for the tree of life. And that tree does not appear in the Bible again until the book of Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 7, God said, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. In the final chapter of the final book in the Bible, Revelation 22:1, it says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, that's referring to Jesus, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. Not just one, but a whole bunch of them. So in the final chapter of the Bible, we finally get there. And we get the tree of life. And you know how. It's not from anything you can do or have done. It's because of the washing of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's something very interesting. Between Genesis and Revelation, God continued to communicate important messages through trees. For instance, this is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. What does that mean? That means he delights in the Bible. He delights in God's word. You know what? I bet every one of you owns a Bible. And I'll bet many, well, I know many of you bring them on Sunday mornings. And I'll bet some of you have them on display at your home, They're not stuck away somewhere, but they're out there. But let me ask you this. How many of you delight in that book? Blessed is the person whose delight is in the Bible. And on the Bible, he meditates day and night. How many of us do that? He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Are your leaves withering? Maybe you need to delight more in the Lord. Whatever he does prospers, it says. So what was God saying there? He was saying, make my word a priority in your life, and I will bless you. How are you doing with that? Have you ever noticed how often I do that in my sermons? I ask that question, how are you doing with that? Let me tell you why. Whenever I'm writing these sermons, I am convicted. I'm convicted of my shortcomings, and I think, oh, Lord, I'm going to stand before these people and tell them things that I don't necessarily do myself. And it leads me to say, I need to ask my brothers and sisters to search their hearts. How are you doing with that? And then I think we need to stick together in this. We need to be like fish and animals and cattle and insects and plants and trees. We need to communicate our faith. We need to talk about it with others and with one another. We need to warn one another when needed. We need to share with one another when we can. In other words, we need to be the body of Christ. Amen? We need to be the body of Christ. So I ask you again, how are you doing with God's call to make his word a priority in your life? And no one can do that for you. You have to do it yourself. Okay, here's another example of tree symbolism in the Bible. It's from Proverbs 2, verse 6. It says, the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. And then Solomon, who wrote that later in Proverbs, says, wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Notice he didn't say the tree of life. He said a tree of life. Wisdom is a gift. Wisdom is a gift from God. Only God can make a tree, and only God can give true wisdom. So if you want some wisdom, ask God for it. Here's another example of tree symbolism. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. There's the key. Who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots in the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Have you noticed yet? Knowledge, wisdom, trust, confidence, it all sums up into one word called faith. Faith, a gift from God. And the picture painted here is that kind of faith that describes the kind of life all of us should long for. Confident, fearless, no worries. Would you like to have no worries? Abundant fruit. But those are not just desires. Those are promises of God for those who what? trust him. Does that sound familiar? How are you doing with that? Oh, here's another one. And it's a very unique one. This is from Isaiah 55, verse 12, which says, all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Isn't that a vivid picture? And in 1 Chronicles 16, 33, it says something similar. It says, then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? We're talking about joyful praise. Praise is not a gift from God. Praise is a response from you and me to God for who he is and what he does for us. And the more you know God, the more you're going to want to praise him. How are you doing with that? Listen, you may not identify with this analogy in the Bible about trees clapping their hands and singing. Well, I want to say something. There is nothing attractive about a joyless church filled with joyless Christians. There, I said it. Have you ever been there? If you come here as an observer, you're probably going to feel very little or no joy at all. If you come here as a participant, yeah, you're going to praise God. You know, I'm reminded of a song that I bet all of us cut our teeth on as children. Oh, I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. Oh, I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Let me ask you something. Why is it down there? Why don't you get it out there and let it show and let God see it? It's a gift to God. It's a response to God. The older I get, the more things sag. And one of them is my face. And as I stand here, I should take my camera out some Sunday, and I should show you what some of your faces look like when you're singing, holy, holy, holy. You know what? If you don't watch out, you just may, if you get the joy out from the bottom of your heart and let it show, you may start clapping your hands and singing for joy, just like the trees. Even older people can do that. And we should. Yeah, the Bible is filled with similar messages from trees. God tells us he wants us to have knowledge, and he wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to have guidance through his word, and he wants us to have faith with confidence in him, all of which leads to praise of God. And I am sure that there are other examples, but now we come to one of the most important ones of all. Let me explain. Jesus Christ showed a remarkable ability to escape harm. Even as a baby, Herod wanted to kill him. Herod failed. Thank God he failed. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and the devil came along and tempted him, and Jesus got into a battle with Satan, and Satan failed. Men tried to throw him off of a cliff in Nazareth. They failed. Men tried to stone him to death in the temple. They failed. If they had tried to drown him in the Sea of Galilee, he would have just walked on the water and just left. He'd gotten out of there. Nothing could harm Jesus except a tree. This is from Deuteronomy 21, verse 22. If a man is guilty of a capital offense and put to death, and his body is hung on a tree, you must not leave his body on the tree overnight. Be sure to bury him that same day, because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. today on this side of the New Testament, we can now see that that was a prophetic message contained in the Old Testament about what was going to happen. And now this from the New Testament, Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles said, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree." But we know what happened next. We know he came out of that tomb totally victorious. And that is where his tree of crucifixion became your tree of life. Hallelujah. Earlier we talked about the final chapters of the Bible. Well, here are the final verses of the final chapters of the Bible. Revelation 22:19. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him and his share in the tree of life. Oh, there are people who want to take away from this book. There are people who will tell you it's not true, and they want to convince you that it's not true. But they have failed. Hallelujah. In us, they have failed. And here are the final two verses of the Bible. Jesus had this response. He said, "Yes, I am coming soon." To which the author of Revelation said, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And here is the final verse of the Bible. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all God's people. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, may we be good students. May we hear your messages loud and clear. May they change our lives. May we bring the joy in our hearts to our faces and our bodies and our singing and our worship and praise of you. And Lord Jesus, we do say, "Come, Lord Jesus, we are ready." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.